Welcome to What's Your Poison? This is John Savage. You can go to johnsavage.com to see all the episodes, the many, many episodes. Also, please rate, subscribe, and share because it'll be good for my ego. Yo, I love this guy. Kuli Chana, not only is he an absolute, beast who seems to have nine lives, keeps coming back stronger than ever, but I really consider him a brother. We have been close before. We met many years ago on MASHLAB doing a Parlor Tones Kuli Chana, the Sleepwalker collaboration. We stayed in touch. And then when Amped got started, we became quite close and did some work together. And we've been around, so to speak. But the thing about Kuli is he is a true visionary, one of the special breed in South Africa. Not only is he just magnificently talented, he is a good dude, a smart guy who's always thinking, always changing the game, always blazing his own path, which I really love and respect. A true pioneer who, got himself from nowhere, from zero to hero. Yeah, that's cheesy, but that is true as well. It got a great story. So this is a very soulful, very lovely conversation. We went all over the map from just talking about life and partners and music to Jabba, WHP, to the Samas and many other things. Anyway, I hope you really enjoy this episode with someone I consider to be a very, very special human being. This is What's Your Poison with the legend, Kuli Chana. What's Your Poison is proudly brought to you by Whiskey Brother. WhiskeyBrother.com. They make great whiskeys. They sell them. You buy them. You drink them. WhiskeyBrother.com.
What? Rockstar. I have missed you, dude. It has been a long time.
I'm sorry, man. COVID made me weird, bro. Things just go weird.
Okay. It's made us all weird. How are you, bro? You're still the finest looking dude in the biz. You still look 20 fucking years old. What is up with you?
Somebody's got to do it, bro. If you're competing against a guy like Nasty C's running the game right now, hey, man, you got to.
And he's only 5 years old.
You got to get your shit together, you know?
Well, your shit is together. Cheers to you, man. I'm having a whiskey with you. You're having a coffee. Happy birthday, even though it's not your birthday.
I'm having a hangover, bro. I think I'm just, like, really getting too old for this. Like. I think it's time I accept it. It's time to just tap out. Like, nah, the partying and bullshit, man. Mm-mm. It's getting rough, John. It's getting rough.
Well, cheers to you, man. It's really nice to see you. It's been a long while, eh?
It's been a minute. It's good to see you looking healthy, doing amazing things, always on the move.
Always moving. That's why you and I are brothers in that particular. I think that's why when we do actually get into the same room, like the sun burns hotter. How have you been, man? Jeez. You've been busy, bro.
Well, now, geez, the demand. It's just like I'm popping again. I dropped the single titled Buile.
Buile, yeah. Great tune, bro.
Yeah, which means I'm fucking back, you know. And why that, you know, and why I had to be intentional and make like a comeback song is like a lot of people go, yo, but what do you mean? Where'd you go? You've always been, you know, doing stuff. You out there. You're still relevant. I'm like, yo, I haven't been charting. The last time I was on the charts was probably in 2014.
Yo,
2014 or maybe 2016 when I dropped One Source, but I was off the charts. You know, it's just like I had found a way to kind of make myself significant and move in new spaces and do cool shit. but I wasn't on the charts, bro. You know, because it's
sorry, carry on.
Yeah, because things had changed. You know what I mean? The indies were now having a real struggle getting their music out on the radio. You know, I came in and at around 05, this round about the time I was in a band, I was in a group, Morafe, and we were signed to Ghetto Rough. That's an indie label that was making amazing moves. And yeah, radio wasn't that hard. Well, I don't know for Lance, but we were on radio, you know? 2009, I went solo. I was on radio. Around 2015, something switched, man. Something changed.
I know, you know. I mean, we were hanging out for a while, and I know that you were, I don't know what year was that, 20, when did you start coming working at Amped? Was that 2017, 2018?
Yeah, 2017, 2018, yeah.
You were definitely I wouldn't say lost, but you were looking for a different path. You were kind of saying, look, I think I'm going to always do music, but I think, you know, there's all the young kids in there. I'm going to start diversifying. And you were also not confused. You were like, should I sign to a label now? Like, what are you supposed to do at this point is what you were saying.
Yeah. I was conflicted. I wasn't sure which way to go. You know, I really wasn't. I was at the crossroads and I'm going, geez, I just dropped this amazing body of work, Planet of the Have-Nots. It's not getting the push that it needs because everything is riding on me. I don't have a solid team right now. So the Amped opportunity was like a lifesaver, bro, because I just got to tap into just how much of an impact I've had, you know, in this journey in the music industry. And I also got to soak in, you know, some knowledge, you know. I got to hang out with Bra Hostix Mabuse. Come on. You know what I mean? That's like, that was amazing for me. Hanging out with Hot Sticks, hanging out with Matt Meyer and trading those stories. And it was just like mind blowing for me. Cause I'm looking at Brasipo going, damn, if he's still going at his age and he still looks this fresh and he still sounds amazing.
And still passionate about the business somehow.
I gotta figure this thing out, you know? And what I had to do was find the right partnership. You know, just like, you know, we cracked it with Empt. I needed to find a partnership with a music distributor.
You'd also come out of a bad part. I know that I had came out of a horrific partnership and you'd also had a similar experience and was like, oh, this is what it's like to be a businessman in the music industry. Ow.
And man, it makes me want to have a drink, actually. Damn, let me see if I can find me some cognac. You know, I've had too many of those episodes, John. When me and you started doing our thing, I was broken. I was just like, damn, I've had one venture after another just fail and fail and fail. And what am I doing wrong, you know? And, you know, what I got out of it, which has been the golden thread in every successful venture, partnerships. You know what I mean? Right. Collaborations. Like the thing that we pulled off with Bra Hostix, doing that Shigisha remix, sitting there in front of an audience and getting to speak from the heart about, and it's like where people get to understand and see this parallel universe. They're like, this dude over here might have been, he's been in the game for over 30 years. This one has just been for like 15, but they are soldiers of the same struggle and we're learning from each other. And there's a whole lot more to learn. That was amazing. The whole Amped experience was amazing. Just like when I did that Absolute campaign, great collaboration there. Great collaborators. So, just like my new single right now, best collaboration. You know, you've got these two kids from Bloemfontein, from Free State. They are like kings of the Free State. You've got this lady by the name of Lady Du. She's like the queen of Amapiano. You've got Tyler ICU, which is like a young Maphorisa on the come up. And then you've got King Kulichana. You know, so yeah, man.
The king is back. Well, good on you, bro. Look at you fucking sticking it out. And not getting any younger, so it doesn't get any easier. But you fucking killing it. I mean, also your TV show, bro. I mean, what I love about you, always thinking, man. Always got a vision for something. I love that. And that's so rare in this industry. I'm always watching you going, whatever he's doing, it's worth watching.
You're
chasing opportunities. You're creating them always.
And I got to be honest, man. You know, when 2019 came with this horror flick.
Yeah. The one that's still happening.
Yeah. The one we're in right now. Yeah. You know, and it motivated me to pivot, right? And that's when I created The Originators, because I felt like, geez, it feels like we're all about to die. We might as well just tell our story and quickly, you know. And then what happened, you know, I worked on the pilot. I got Focalistic, right? Man, Focalistic, what a guy. Like, this is like one of the most humble dudes I've ever met. And he's like a star, right? And all I had to do is just break him off like 2K just for petrol to get there. He performed. We did an episode. I sent it out to Trace. And, you know, it was just like, sold. We love it. 8 episodes. We got Nadia Nakai on there. Who else? Questa. Ah, what a G. Who else? We got PH. My favorite episode, Aries. His episode trended on Twitter.
Now that's interesting, because getting a Reese anywhere is a fucking mission. getting that dude on a phone is next to impossible. Never mind get him to a place.
Yeah, I didn't know. So I didn't know that about him until, you know, I was trying to get him on the show, you know, and it was a bit of a breeze for me. And I was like, okay, you know, must be really special. And that's when I got to realize, yo, this guy hardly does interviews, so people don't know much about him.
You did a good thing there, man. I mean, he is a rarity to get in front of anything, so well done on that.
Oh, thank you. And then, yo, as we got deeper and deeper into the lockdown, damn, I started getting really frustrated, John. Like, I at one point, I mean, I remember when we were getting into it, I was actually, there's a part of me that was a little bit relieved, because I felt like, yo, things were moving so fast that I needed a timeout. But that timeout just went on for too long.
The door was locked. You're in the corner closet and the door was locked.
That's it. And it's just, it's me and the Hennessy, you know, that doesn't end well. It's just me and the Henny. And the weird thing is in a time like that, you think you'd come up with your best material. You know, I imagine me writing coming up. I imagine even writing a novel. Like, I'm gonna be at my most creative. Nah, that didn't happen. You know,
You need life for inspiration. If you're stuck if you're stuck in the closet, well, you've got nothing to draw on.
Dude, there I was. Now I'm moving in the mining industry. You know, I'm out there looking at this at a mine with these guys looking at me like, is this guy crazy? What's he doing over here? I'm out there taking photos, trying to, you know,
learn. Whoa. Are you being literal now, or are you?
I'm being for real. I met a guy. So one of the best things. Okay, let me take you back. One of the best things, right, that has happened in my life just before the big announcement was made, the COVID-19 lockdown. I had just moved to Pretoria with my wife, right? And literally about a week later, and I swear to you, had it happened and I was still in Joburg, man, I would be in a psychiatric. I would have lost my mind. I was over Joburg. I wanted to move. We moved here. Met this guy. He's like my mentor. Goes by the name of Elvis. Run into him at the clubhouse here at the estate. Says to me, "Hey, I met you 2006. We went partying. You took care of us." And I had to pretend like I knew what he was talking about. And I was like, "Yeah." Gave me his card. And then from there, he was like, "I'm in the mining industry, man. You know, you guys, there's no action in your world. So you can just ride with me. Come learn something." And yeah.
Dude, I've got to understand some more about this. What does that mean? You can't just say, "Come and join in the mining industry." What does that actually mean?
It means that there's opportunities everywhere. You know, there's if you're an entrepreneur, don't limit yourself. You know what I mean? And it's okay to go into spaces you know nothing about and be uncomfortable. And, you know, and yeah, man, I went on to learn everything from plant hiring to consumables to, you know what I mean? I'm nowhere near Oppenheimer or Motsepe level, but, you know, we're going to get
business.
I'm in there. I'm figuring it out. You know what I mean?
That's so crazy and cool.
Yeah.
So just, I need to understand this, but this is so like alien to me. When you're in the business, what does that mean? Have you got a share in something? Are you moving things around? Are you building things? Are you digging? Have you got your own piece of a mine? What does it mean?
It means like there's so many for a guy like myself. I mean, in the beginning, I was just like super ambitious and super naive, right? And and I realized, geez, this is a real hustle. Like you gotta either go to school for this. Number two, you need to have spent years on this hustle. Right. I was just looking at, geez, so if you sell this much, you make this much. This is how much these guys are making. I need to be in this business, you know.
Right.
But
right.
Where I'm at now is just being around guys who are mining contractors who give me opportunities to just do some supplies. And you know what I mean? I'm right at the beginning. But I'm
cool, man.
Yeah. But it's been like a revolution. Literally this time last year, I was trying to figure it out. And I thought it was going to happen that quick. Right now, I'm just like, by this time, hopefully next week, I'll have my contract. You know what I mean? It's yeah. But I'm 10 steps ahead. You know, I've seen the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah. Amazing. And it's obviously is it something? It's like a long haul thing. You'll be in that business for 10 years, and every year you'll learn something new.
Definitely. Definitely. It's just like, I was just like, you know what? I'm bolding. I don't think rapping is going to be that cool. And I don't know if I can write this for long, but music will always be my main thing. Always, mm-hmm. always be my main thing. Being a creative, that will always be my thing, you know, but thank God for, you know, let me just say COVID-19 was also a blessing in disguise, because one got to pivot and learn new ways to hustle, because, man, there's nothing more hurtful than realizing that we are last in line. Like, I have never felt this insignificant in my whole life. You know what I mean? It's just like, damn. So all we good for is just like campaign songs. But when shit really hits the fan, nobody has a plan for us, you know? Yeah, man. And yeah. So I had to go and check out industries that stay moving in a lockdown, you know?
I mean, amazing. And what about, so on your lockdown, how was your, you'd obviously just got married. So now you were like gone from two very busy touring people to be two people not busy stuck in a house.
Something very interesting happened in this lockdown. The lockdown became a springboard for Lamise's career, the biggest springboard, the launch pad, because she played on this show on the lockdown house party, and that was around, that was around June, right? June-ish, I think, around that time. She's about that. So And what happened right after that, it was just like bookings from 2019 into 2020, you know, and she skyrocketed after that. You know what I mean? So I think it impacted us in different ways. You know what I mean? And but for her, what I witnessed, it was crazy. It was cool. Crazy. When we did our first show, I remember she did. There we are.
Something happened. Sorry, I don't know what happened there. Carry on. You said when you did the first show.
Yeah, in the Free State. That's the one I can remember. And we walk into this venue and it's just like camera phones everywhere. And then we had done a couple shows together before and it was just like, yeah, there'll be like a random, you know, girl,
guy. You thought they were there for you?
I thought they were there for me. I'm like, shit done changed, you know, shit done changed. And it was ridiculous. It was just like, yo, she's just Beyonce'd me. She is just Beyonce. You know, so yeah, that was amazing, man.
And how do you guys help each other, work together, assist each other, or is it like doesn't work that way? Because I know in my, you know, I'm married to someone from my band and we just can't do shit together. We have to have our own little separate things. It doesn't work. it doesn't work when we work together.
For us, definitely it's the outfits, you know. I can never leave the house without checking in, you know. Before I leave, I have to do the, what do you think, you know. that's number one, that's key. But also creatively, I'm always sharing ideas and she's my soundboard, you know. Sometimes she looks super bored by my ideas, but you know, at least I get to run my mouth. And then, just watching her move is also just inspiring. You know what I mean? I think through her, I learned how to use social media better. I sucked at it so bad. I didn't get it, you know? And watching her, then, you know, it became easier. I stopped overthinking it so much. Yeah. I don't know about being in a band together, but whenever we do a set together, people lose their minds, you know?
The performing part is that's okay. It depends how you are behind the scenes, because when you get into the business side, it's a whole different sort of kettle of fish.
Yeah. It's a whole different, because you other thing you have to be wary of is that, you know, one brand is not diluted by the other, and you know, you have to keep, she must still be her individual and her, you know, authentic self and grow. Yeah, so it's a, you know, it's a challenge.
Super cool. And what about what are your plans for music now?
Yo, just more cool shit, collaborations, and I got something in the chamber with Manu Worldstar. Sounds like Yano's Afro beats and just slick raps, you know. And you know what I'm enjoying now is being so comfortable in that pocket and in my bag and being mature. Because as a rapper, you hit a certain age where you start to catch a complex, especially right. When either start to call you Grootman, where a guy doubles. Sure, Grootman. Once they Grootman you start to feel like, damn. You know, maybe it's time I hung up the gloves, or you know, they or OG you, and but now, you know, I enjoy it, you know, just I enjoy it. I think I relate better to my peers, and I've just hit it perfectly down the middle where I can make music that speaks to a guy I grew up with and the little ones, you know. So yeah, we good.
What do you think of Nasty C and what he's doing?
I think it's so ballsy. You know, I think it's so ballsy. I was saying to somebody, like, sometimes, you know, I was chilling with a mate of mine from Mafikeng, and he was reminding me, you know, he was saying, man, I think sometimes you're just a bit too hard on yourself. You forget that you left Mafikeng and went to go live in Joburg. You had nothing. right? And you crash from couch to couch. And now you're good. You're now married. You live in a house. You've accomplished. You're gonna have your issues and problems and ups and downs, but you completed that mission. And I look at Nasty C and I go, damn, he took that leap as well, you know. And I think as South African musicians, we overthink that thing. Like, okay, cool. Having moved from Mafikeng. Man, you can move and go live in Ghana and be iconic over there and move. I think as a musician, it's very key to travel. You gotta keep moving. You can't be stuck in a place. So I commend him for that and his team. And I like that he did not, like, you could tell that was his master plan from the get-go.
Yeah, his head screen. I was gonna ask you, what do you think is his secret sauce? He definitely seems to have his head screwed on straight. And at that age, that's the rarity. Someone who seems to have a plan and he's still a kid, you know.
I like the fact that he strikes me as a guy who's super dedicated to the craft, you know, to the skill of making music. I listen to, you know, I'm into delivery. You know, I can tell if a guy practices. I can tell. It's in the tongue. It's in how they flow, you know. So you can tell he spends a lot of time on his craft. You know, he's a bit of a geek about it. But he's like a super cool kid. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Does he party, that guy? Or is he just... Because he's so, invisible, bro. Like, he's... It all seems like a big persona. It's a big, like, performance, and then he goes back into his little cage, and he's not to be found.
I've never him and Reese have the same kind of persona when it comes to. I mean, you'll never catch Reese at a party, anyway. You know, I've never seen Nasty. I met him once. First time we met was, I think, it was in Durban. It was at Moyo. Yeah, he was there. We took a picture. It was the only time I've ever seen him at a party, you know. But shout out to him and his team, you know, for the pivot, you know, and playing at that level. I like that. I like the fact, like, HHP used to say this a lot. Jabba used to say the only difference between us and them is the zeros on the check. And when I said him, only difference between me and Snoop is the zeros on the check. I could body Snoop, you know, lyrically. I could, you know what I mean? And I could have.
Oh, I missed that dude. Jeez, I missed that guy.
Hey, man, I missed him so much the other day, man. I started feeling like I was suffocating. Like, I needed a hug from that guy. He was so infectious, man.
Jeez. One of a kind. Really, what a special guy. And did you know, I didn't know he was going through, I think he once told me, but I didn't know the depth of the pain he was going through. Did you know he was suffering? Also, someone who could just disappear for months on end, you know?
I mean, he wouldn't let, you know, only a few people that he let in, you know, on that. But I knew he was going through stuff, you know, but I didn't know the depth of it. You know what I mean? I don't know the depth of it, but I remember the one time when I knew, okay, shit is about to hit the fan. We had a little altercation, and he came to the show. It was at Wad Sauce, and he was super pissed.
What was it about?
It was about, like, I needed him on my lineup, and he said, I got you. Let's do it. And then the final hour, he couldn't make it. He had to do a show in the VAR. And I kind of lost my shit, you know? And then, yo. Like, I've never seen Jabba lose his temper, you know? Well, maybe once. But he came to the show looking for me backstage.
Whoa.
And he was angry. He wanted to see me. And we never got to see each other. The boys came to tell me, yo, Jabba is pissed. you know, and that's when I knew, okay, cool, he's going through stuff. And the biggest
he
blessing,
was smart enough to know that that wasn't really about you. It was about other
stuff. Yeah. I knew it wasn't about me. And then what I did on his birthday, I gave him a call. And he told me how much he loved me. We chopped it up. I reached out to Lerato. That's who made it happen. And then we spoke, and man, happy ending. So I'll always hold on to that moment that, you know, yeah, we got to squash it. Yeah.
I mean, that guy, I got to tell you this thing. He, I worked with him quite a bit, and I just love that man. And one of the things we did was the Sarmas, right? And the one year, you know, the Sarmas had this rule, you couldn't perform 2 years in a row. And I had we'd done the year before with him. And it was the following year Sarmas, and it was like the 11th hour. It was like 2 days before the Sarmas was going on. And he kind of barged in and said he wants to do. It was the fucking craziest thing. I don't understand to this day. But, you know, like a real visionary like yourself, sometimes you just have this vision. It doesn't make any sense. You just got to do it. And the guy was so fucking musical. He wanted to do like a hula Hawaiian song, you know, and with dancing girls and palm trees and a suit. And somehow, like, he convinced me that we were going to do this thing. And we in the middle of the Sarmas, he just came out. First, he did Bossa Kimang, so the whole crowd was going fucking bananas.
Is this when he came out with the band?
He came out first. No, it wasn't with the band. Yeah, he might have come out with the band, just doing Bossa Kimang, getting the audience up. And then he vanished off the stage, and suddenly this, like, hula dancers. It was like, Mauritius, whoa. And it went on for like two minutes.
Wow.
And the thing about it, which is what always struck me, was I never to this day understood why we did that or what the fuck it was about. But it stands out as one of the most memorable things that ever happened on the Sarmas.
Did you close the show with that one?
No, it was just in the middle. It was so weird. But it was like this. It was this brilliant genius of him. It was just.
And he had this amazing humor. Jeez, like, I always thought he was gonna get into acting, you know, because I was like, that's gotta be next.
He would have been brilliant. He would have been brilliant.
Wow, man. I miss that guy. Love him. Wow, you did the Sarmas two years in a row.
I think I did three. No, I did three. I did three. I did the Sarmas. It was very painful. I have a very painful memory because when I came to the Sarmas, I had this vision for the Sarmas. No more backtracks. Fuck this shit. It's the South African Music Awards. I want bands and music. No one's allowed to come here with backtracks. And I had to fight really, really hard to get that together. And for year one, I was really proud. But year two, I think I just fought with it. I think it's just me and my nature, Cooley. Yeah. I just fought with everyone. I was so miserable doing Sarmas. By the third year, they would never have me back because I just argued with everyone. I just wanted it to be, I just wanted it to be, I don't know, Sarmas
something prestigious, something iconic, like, you know.
Yeah, I wanted to make it memorable.
Yeah. Hey, man.
And Jabba did that, man, with his hula song. I'll find this link online. You won't believe it when you see it. It's so weird.
Hey, man, Jabba, man. And Jabba's taste in music was like, I remember us moving to Joburg and moving into his apartment, right? And the only thing that was there was this like small disc player, right? A Bophuthatswana Tswana flag. It was like an underground movement, you know? And here's a bunch of kids, you know, from Mafikeng here to take over Joburg. And the music we were bumping in there was like less hip hop. It was a lot of like the OJs, Manhattans, and all that old school stuff. And when you listen to Jabba, there's a lot of that influence in his music, you know?
He was never a rapper. He was a musician.
Yeah.
He was so deeply musical.
Dude, my palate switched when I moved into that apartment. We were listening to all music. A lot of smoke in the air. Hardly any food in the fridge. But always this big cloud. And anybody who came to visit was just there to make that cloud bigger. It's just like, you know what I mean? And but a lot of writing. And Jabba was so passionate, dude. He would make me rap for him every time he came by the flat. Because he at the time he lived with his girl, he came by the flat. He's like, kick me a verse. And I kick him a verse. And then he would start punching the wall. Bah, bah. Really, you fucking sick? I was just like, yo, his knuckles, his knuckles here, man, his skin was like fading. You know,
what's this punching the wall shit? Why are you punching the wall?
He was that crazy about it. This guy believed in me so much, man. It was just like, I have never till this day had anybody believe in me so much. They're going to punch a wall every time I rap. But that's how much he loved the music. It was just like, yeah. And I think, you know, what we were bringing was something totally different to Motswako, you know? So, yeah, definitely a mindfuck.
Ish, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, amazing. What a privilege you got to grow up with a guy, see him through all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Man. Yeah. But, yeah. So I think all we have to do is keep Jabba's name alive and keep doing iconic stuff and just, you know, if we're still talking about Tupac today and he died in the 90s, right?
Only difference between Tupac and Jabba is a couple of zeros, bro.
A couple of zeros on the check. Thank you very much. Exactly. So, yeah, man. Until they put flowers on me, I'll be rapping Jabba in every interview. And, yeah.
I was gutted. I know that our that one clothing sponsorship deal we did didn't go so well, but I was really excited. At the beginning, we spoke about doing that that WHP tribute inside. That music video got me really fucking going. It was really a tragedy that we never managed to do that.
Yeah,
I just thought that would have been a great way to honor him.
You know, but we did. We still did. You know, being
yeah,
out.
You did. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, being out in Brixton, I mean, I hadn't been on those streets in years. I'm not talking about driving through the neighborhood. I'm talking about walking around the neighborhood. It just took me back to walking in, you know, in those streets with Jabba. They used to buy like chips. Like these fried chips at the corner store, and I used to marvel at how everybody knew his name, and we in a foreign city, you know, that was crazy for me. It's like walking around with everybody knew his name. It's like, oh, in Joburg, everybody is calling you by your name, and he knows everybody by their name. Everybody out there taking pictures, and he's humble, but he's this giant. Like, I used to marvel at that. So going back there, oh man, it just took me to a very special place.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yo, dude. What did I want to ask you? We've known each other a long time, huh? It's been quite a mad adventure. Back from that parlor tone sleep. I remember the first day I ever called you to get on that track.
Yeah, I remember Steaky driving you crazy because you needed the mix, and he was just, I don't know if he was fucking it up or what was going on, but I remember you wanting to take a flight down to Joburg to come get the mix yourself.
You know me. I mean, the one thing you know about me, if I've got a bone in my teeth. I mean, this interview, I've been chasing you for how long? 6 months?
Yeah, yo. You are so persistent. I was done.
I don't chase my other guests as hard as I chase you, except the one which I'm determined to break is Mzwaki Mbuli, who is just impossible to get to the microphone. But I am I'm fucking after him, man. I'm gunning for him.
Have you met his son?
No.
Have you never met Robert? Robert I.
Maybe I have.
Yo, I'm gonna hook you up. Don't worry.
Hook me up with him. It was important for me to talk to you because I feel like we're disconnected. Actually, I love it when we're in each other's space. Working with you has been some of the most important stuff in my life. Oh, I think that when our sort of clothing sponsorship thing went a bit pear shaped, we didn't really connect after that, and I felt like I just wanted to, just break bread and have whiskey and come back into your orbit because I love what you're doing. I'm such a fan of you as a person. I'm a massive fan of you as an artist and a magician. And I just wanted to tell you, I still love you, man. And I wanted to just get you on here because this is a place where I get to speak to all my favorite people and you are right up there.
I appreciate that, John. I appreciate that because I think at a certain point, the campaign was just, it felt like, is this still authentic? Is this a match? And we're not connecting while it's happening, you know? And I'm starting to feel like a client, you know?
A client, yeah. Look, you know, I make the connections and then I let other people do the work. So I wasn't even on that thing. I only found out later there were issues and stuff or whatever.
But you know, at the end, we made it work.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do. It's not about us.
Yeah. Learned a whole lot. So I was also looking forward. I was just like, you know what? We just I'll just find the right time. But we definitely got to connect and we got to do something magical one more time, you know?
And you know, you're always welcome to come and do anything at the old studio now. You weren't there. We know we've got the SSL there now. We got it in the end. We got it.
Finally. You gotta write a book about that desk.
We fought to the end, and there is I have a photo of us carrying it out of Maboneng with like a judge, two lawyers, like security. We just got the fuck out, put it into AMPS, and it was the best day ever. It was having that SSL back in AMPS.
This is crazy. Oh jeez, yo, you are a fighter. What a fighter. Wow, yeah, man.
What a fight. Well, so are you, man. And that's the thing. And still the Kulichana Sipo hot sticks. Guys, if you're listening to this now, just go and find that interview on YouTube. Everything about it is magic. The two of you up on that stage. I've got this is the one photo I have up here is from that Sipo hot sticks thing from when you guys are that was unbelievable.
Yo, I need to get some of those pictures framed in my house.
We've got them and we're actually gonna get them. We're gonna bring them to you in the next couple of weeks. No, CC's gonna bring them to you. Those photos are power.
Yeah, awesome.
And they're signed as well, which is cool.
Oh wow, let's make it happen. Please, man. I got a little beautiful home over here. I'm just missing some iconic, you know, pictures and moments. You know what I mean?
Definitely made that happen.
Let's make it happen, John. Thank you, bro.
Cool, man. Listen, bro, I'm glad we got to chat. Thank you so much for coming on What's Your Poison, my brother. And I've never met your wife, but cheers to you guys. And so happy to see your lovely face.
Cheers for always breaking bread, because you know I know a couple of agencies have hit her up because of our connection, you know what I mean? So I appreciate you for always for that through pass. We call it the through pass. You always shy at that through pass, John, you know, you like always. So I'll always appreciate you for that, my brother.
Yeah. Cool, man. Don't be a stranger, seriously. And lots of love to you, my bro.
One love. Peace.
You too, dude. Thanks, cool. If you enjoyed this episode of What's Your Poison, you're pretty cool because it was fucking great. Do us a favor and subscribe either on the Apple Store, the Spotify Store, wherever you are. Leave a comment, please. Let me say it again. Because you probably just skipped over it. Just leave a comment because it helps with the ratings and and I would appreciate it. Also, go to johnsavage.com if you want to see all the rest of the episodes or subscribe to my newsletter. The end.